Among the many emails we receive here at I'll Be Honest, one topic which we receive quite often is one along the line of this. I want to believe. I want to be a Christian. But God hasn't given me faith yet. What do I do since I know faith is a gift from God, but since He hasn't given it to me yet, what do I do? Am I beyond hope? They say the same thing about repentance in their emails. What does that person do? Are they beyond hope? We'll address that here in the next few minutes. First, is that person correct? Is faith a gift from God? Yes, it is. Philippians 1:29 states so. Does our Bible say that not all have faith? Yes, it says that. 2 Thessalonians 3. We know that faith is necessary for a person to be saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, says Hebrews 11:6. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin, according to Romans 14:23. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life, right? We're justified by faith, according to Romans 3 and Romans 5. Repentance is also a gift, Acts 11 and 2 Timothy 2. So what about that person? Maybe that person is you. What about that person who does not believe that says, though, they want to believe and they want to repent, but they claim to not believe or have repented because God hasn't given them faith and repentance yet? That person is in a dangerous place. Why? Because what they're doing is, in essence, blaming God for the fact they are not saved. They're saying it's God's fault because God hasn't given them faith and repentance. And what does that do? It makes that person passive and they sit back and they wait. Where in your Bible does it command anybody to do that? Where is anybody told to sit back and wait for faith? I want to look at a passage briefly and cover this issue. The passage is in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus has just finished pronouncing woes upon certain cities. Why? Because of their lack of response to the mighty works done in them. He then prays to his Father, and it's interesting what he prays as he gives thanks. He prays in thanksgiving for this fact, the fact that his Father had hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. What these things? The things concerning spiritual truths, the things concerning himself, hidden from people by his Father, things which men needed to understand in order to be saved. Those things were revealed to little children. That's a metaphor. The little children are men like Peter, Andrew, and Bartholomew, working men, fishermen, not professional theologians like the scribes and Pharisees. Then he says, everything has been handed to him by his Father. And concerning mankind, no one knows the Father unless the Son, Jesus, chooses to reveal the Father to men. Men were lost. They needed truth to be saved, and truth was hidden to some and revealed to others. Does Jesus then say that those who had the truth hidden from them are off the hook? That they're not responsible? No. Look at what Jesus says now when he evangelizes. Come, all who labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All. Jesus places the burden squarely upon everyone within the sound of his voice that they should come to him and receive rest. Think about Jesus coming out of the wilderness after he was tempted by Satan. What does he say? Repent and believe in the gospel. Think about all those times he told people to follow him. Think about the evangelistic encounters in Acts. The men at Pentecost were cut to the heart, and how did Peter respond to their question? Peter said, repent. He didn't say, ask for repentance. Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer in response to his question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe. Let's be honest, though. Did everyone always obey the command to repent and believe? Why? Why didn't they? Because they didn't want to. Now, I know if you're that person, you're mad right now because I just told you the reason you don't believe is because you don't want to believe. Or you don't want to repent. You might be getting ready to write me an email here at I'll Be Honest and tell me you do want to believe and repent, but it's God's fault you don't believe and you haven't repented. But what does Scripture do with all of that? Scripture lays the responsibility squarely in your lap to believe and to repent. And the urgency of that is clear. You're not supposed to wait for faith to fall from the sky or repentance to come in your next proverbial Amazon box. When Paul talked with Felix about faith in Jesus Christ in Acts 24, he did so by bringing up righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. Felix did not respond in belief, but he became frightened and he said, get out for now. Did Paul say, okay, you better pray God gives you faith? Not as far as we know. We don't have any such thing recorded there or anywhere else in Scripture when people refuse to respond immediately in faith and repentance. Scripture always presses people who hear the gospel to respond and to respond right now. It never gives a person license to wait, does it? You have to be as desperate as Peter was when he started to sink when he was walking on the water. Peter didn't think about it. Peter didn't pray about it. Peter didn't sit back passively. He yelled, Lord, save me! That's where you need to be if you're that person who says you don't believe or you haven't repented because God hasn't given you faith or repentance yet. You need to be in Peter's place as he's sinking fast and he is desperate. Lord, save me! You are responsible right now. You just have to want to be saved more than remaining where you are right now, and Scripture gives you absolutely no wiggle room here. Repent and believe now. Turn from your sin and trust Christ now. Don't presume upon the Lord's kindness in giving you today. Please repent and believe now.